Welcome to City on a Hill, where we believe, belong, become, and build. We are a loving and caring community located in Crab Orchard, West Virginia, led by Pastor Damon Davis. Whether you're listening for the first time or you're a regular part of our family, we are so glad that you're here. At City on a Hill, we believe in reaching out to everyone with the love of Christ. Make sure to visit us online at cityonahillwv.com for more info on how to get connected. Now, let's dive right into the message from today and grow together in Christ.
We have truly been blessed. Amen. Matthew 16, 24. Then Jesus said unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Sorry, visitors, this is what you get to hear today. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it. Whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited? He shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul. And what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. You can go ahead and be seated. I want to throw this out there real fast. Whenever you hear the word works in Scripture, it's not talking about salvation, it's talking about sanctification. Let me say that again. Whenever you read the word works in Scripture, you'll find out it's not talking about salvation, it's talking about sanctification. Because we understand that we are saved by grace through faith, that not of ourselves, it is a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. There is no boasting in our salvation. But there is a work to do after we are saved. It's amazing that when Jesus writes it, or when Jesus says this, he said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. There's a difference between denying yourself and self-denial. When you deny yourself, it's more intense than self-denial. Because when you perform self-denial, self is what has decided to do the denying. When you deny yourself, something has caused you to realize that you need to be denied, and it's not you. He called us into discipleship. When I read this, I may have some fun with this today. When I read this, Thomas, I couldn't help but take my mind back to the garden scene. And Tracy, you got my robe? Is it up here? Where's it at? Which one is it? This one? Yeah, here we go. I need a volunteer. Let's put this around you.
Okay. To see it or to not see it?
To see it.
Okay.
I got it backwards. It was. You're funny, and your pastor dresses you funny or something. I don't know. This is you. This is a version of you. Let's be honest. Every one of us have a version that we let everybody see. We don't allow most people to see the real us. Amen? If you allowed some people to see the real you, they wouldn't be sitting beside of you right now. Amen. Because there is a you that nobody else knows but you. But this is the you that we see. This is the you that we see. So I pictured this, and when I pictured this, I pictured the garden scene. And this is the way my mind went. I picture the enemy in the garden as someone would read this scripture. I need another volunteer. So the enemy comes into the garden. Stand up here, get right beside of him. Right there, it looks good, right there. The enemy came into the garden, and we know the story. And as I'm reading this, Dave, I picture somebody reading this scripture. And he says, if you want to follow me, you got to deny yourself. You have to deny yourself. And I picture the enemy having a conversation, and I believe he's had this conversation with some of us before in our life. Of course, God is going to ask you to deny yourself. Of course he is, because this is the way God works. The truth is, God is a killjoy. The truth is, he's a stick in the mud. The truth is, he kind of wants to, because when we read this and we say, deny yourself, what comes to your mind is, he's asking me to take up my cross. So what he's saying is, he's saying to you, God really wants you to be miserable. Because the image of carrying a cross is not glorious. And I see the enemy using this as an avenue. What he really wants you to do is take all of the things in this pitiful life that gives you joy and put them in a box and throw them out the window. Has anybody ever had a conversation and the enemy inserted this into your thinking? He's, of course, he wants you to deny yourself. He's not asking you to deny your mother. He's not asking you to deny your father. He's not asking you to deny your sibling. He's asking you to deny you. He's asking you to not be true to yourself. Like I said, he's such a killjoy. He's such a buzzkill. He's the Grinch. Because this is the way he started. It started like this in the garden. He put them in a garden and he said, you can eat of any tree you want except for one tree. And I see the enemy having this conversation. I was there in the garden. I was there. And let me tell you, the reason he didn't want them to eat of that fruit is because it was good. Some people say it was an apple. The enemy said it was fun fruit. Because the truth is, she saw it. And when Eve saw that it was desirable to look upon, that it was good for food, that it was pleasant, of course God told her not to eat that. Because it was good and pleasant and everything was good about it. And then when she saw how good it was and she ate it and she gave it to her husband, he did eat too. Let me tell you what God did. Being the buzzkill that he is, he kicked him out of the garden. Why would he kick him out when it was such pleasantry and it was so good? And we may not say this out loud, but sometimes the enemy makes us feel like we're missing something by not going out and doing the things the enemy wants us to do. Just let me live my life. Let me be me. Let me just live. Let me do my thing. And we think that God is somehow trying to stop us from experiencing joy because the enemy puts that in our head. Lack. Lack is what the enemy uses to make us think. The enemy tries to make me think that somehow God is holding out on me. Some people leave the church and go back to the world because they feel like they're missing something. Let me tell you where they get that idea. They get that idea right here. They get that idea from the enemy. Hey, listen, the Bible's right. Sin is fun. That's in your Bible. We was talking to the other day to a guy, and he looked at me and he said, do you know worrying is a sin? I said, yeah, and if I'm gonna sin, I'm gonna do something more fun than worrying. The enemy tries to talk you into holding on to you. Comments, Eddie, like this. I'm just trying to find myself. I got to get away and go somewhere where I can find myself. The God of the universe is commanding you to lose yourself. So there is a problem. The problem is the spirit of this day that we live in is very selfish. And it's about me, and it's about, and it starts at an early age. It's, I remember little stuff, little tiny stuff, just songs that I used to listen to and I used to sing. When you were 3 years old, sitting on your daddy's knee, he said, you can be anything you want to be. The truth is, you can't be anything that you want to be, because God didn't command you to be anything you want to be. He commanded you to be what he wanted you to be. But there's a problem. What's the problem? The problem is this. God is trying to hold me back. He's trying to get me to get rid of me. And the enemy loves this line of thinking. I may not be preaching to everybody, but I'm preaching to somebody. How many times have you came into a church service and you barely made it here? Well, Pastor, you're lucky I'm here. I'm lucky. I'm the lucky one in this scenario that you're here. No, I think the advantage is on your side. I really feel like that there's some things out there. There's, now that I think of it, there are so many of these songs in my head. They're old and y'all might not know them. But Reba used to sing about, she's just wondering if there's life out there. wondering. This is me. This is me. This is all I got. And he's asking me, come on, he's asking me to deny me. To deny me. It's all I am. But if you want to get somewhere with God, I'm talking to people that are saved, I hope, today. And if you're lost, I'll talk to you in just a second. Because there are parts of us that we still need to deny for the kingdom, believers. We're still holding on to some things that we need to get rid of, believers. And some, well, preacher, it's just my guilty pleasure. The guilty pleasure is stopping us from seeing revival in our churches. Oh, let me try it over here. But the things that we are holding on to that he's asked us to get rid of, those things are stopping the move of God in our church. Can you say amen? But Jesus has a plan. And Jesus' plan is this: deny yourself. The enemy saying, don't do it. Save yourself. How many people, Ron, why don't you raise your hand? How many people, when you gave your life to Jesus, you gave your life to Jesus at an altar at a church? Raise your hand. How many people went through this? They're given an altar call, and there's something that says, you need to go pray. And then there's something that says, don't do it, man. Don't do it, man. But I really need to surrender. Don't you dare. You about to mess up. You're going to lose every cool thing you ever had in your life. Raise your hand if anybody had that conversation in your head before you went to the altar. Look around. Look around. If you didn't have that conversation, I don't know about these voices that you're not hearing. But I heard them. My heart started beating out of my chest. And God was drawing me. And I didn't even know what I was supposed to say when I got there. But I knew something was drawing me. And something else was saying, don't do it. Don't do it. You know, here I am 30-some years later. And I still hear those voices. I still hear, surrender. Don't surrender. I still hear, just give it up. And they're here, nah, man, save yourself. Let me put it in perspective. How many times has God ever laid it on your heart to witness to somebody? To lose yourself for a minute, to lose part of you and witness to somebody. But there's another voice that says, ah, save it for later. Save yourself, save yourself, save yourself. Y'all getting hot? Okay. Save yourself. Save yourself is not the message of the kingdom. Save yourself is the message of the devil. Look at it on the cross. When Jesus is on the cross and he's paying the sin debt, they would look at him and say, if thou be the Son of God, then save yourself. It's not about saving yourself. It's about spending yourself for the kingdom of God so that God can get the glory. But the enemy's saying, save it, man. Hold on to it. Hold on to it just a little while longer. I know people right now, Keith, that they're waiting to get saved later. They got it planned out. I can't do it right now. I'm going to go sow my wild oats. But later on, I know it's going to, that's a lie of the enemy. Save yourself till later. Are you hearing me? We see this all throughout Scripture, that if we're going to get into the kingdom of God and be effective, there is part of us that we need to lay down. What part is it? It's us. You can sit down for a minute. I'll get you back. You can't leave. You. The priest in the Old Testament. You got a minute? The priest in the Old Testament was dressed up. He had the ephod. He had the robe. He had the purple. He had the scarlet. He had the blue. He had the patches on his shoulders. And he had the stones that hung around him. And he had the pomegranates and the bells. And he walked through the temple. And everybody knew who the priest was. Everybody knew who Aaron was. Everybody knew who the high priest was. He walked around. His robe gave him his identity. They knew who he was because of what he wore. And you know what's crazy? We know people. We know people by the outer covering that we see, but it's not really them. Because we all wear this mask to everybody. Nobody really gets to see the real us. But there's one that knows exactly who you are. So he's walking around, Ian, and as he walks around the temple, he's walking around in his priestly garments. His attire that he wore gave him away. What they seen externally, they knew who he was by what he wore. But this beautiful scarlet and purple and all the things that it represented, Doug, it was so amazing. When it came time for him to enter into the holiest of all, when it came time on the day of atonement, in the day of at-one-ment, when he came into union and he came into the presence of God, let me tell you what he had to do. He had to remove his robe, that thing that identified him. He had to lay it aside, and all he had was a linen ephod that he went into the presence of God. Yet, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying the church needs to lay some things down so that we can get more into the presence of God, so that things can begin to happen in our community. But I look so nice in this. My reputation makes me look so nice. Your reputation is not what God's looking for. He's looking for underneath, and he needs to see character. The priest would do it. Pick it back up. Elijah had a mantle, and when it came time for him to ascend, to get into the glory of God, let me tell you what he did. He removed the mantle, and he threw it back. He let some things go because he was going to a different place. Are you following me? Let me just preach now. I probably don't need you anymore. Thank you. You can sit down. Because, man, I'm feeling good now. David would go out, and they were bringing back the presence of God into the camp. They're bringing back the very presence, the very Ark of the Covenant. And David had this garment that identified him as king. But David understood that if you really want the presence of God, you got to get rid of what identifies you and get the identity that he called you to walk in. So the Bible says that David removed his kingly garment and he danced, the Bible says, naked before the Lord, but he danced in a linen ephod. What are you saying? I'm saying if we want the presence of God, we got to get rid of who we are and let us be who he says we are.
Amen.
Watch this. I'm gonna sum this up. You ready? Jesus, the greatest example of all, the very Son of the living God, comes to his departure, it's almost time for him to be glorified. And the Bible says that Jesus got up after supper and he removed his garments and he cast them to the side and he girt himself with a towel. The very King of Glory laid aside his garment and girt himself with service. See, you thought you was going to hear a sermon about, hey, we're doing good. Go, church, go. We are doing good, but man, we can do so much better. Because when we lay aside us and put on the garment of service, we will find who we are. So to the sinner that's here today, to the lost person that's here today, I want to talk to you for a minute. Because here's the issue. The enemy has lied to you and told you that what you're holding on to is you. Because he never, never finishes the scripture. The enemy always omits something. He always leaves something out. He always twists it just a little bit. So what he does is he always talks about what you're going to lose if you do this. He always puts the emphasis on what is lacking. But the scripture said, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Let me tell you the problem. There is a creator God that created you for a very specific purpose. The enemy has you holding on to things, thinking that you can't let them go, but you really don't know who you are until you surrender your life to the hand of the one that created you. The song said, I know who I am because I know who you are. If you don't know who he are, you don't know who you am. If you don't know who he is, you don't know who you are. First of all, you got to believe there's a creator. And if you don't believe there's a creator, you're a fool. I didn't say it. I know. Ooh, he said that. I know. I don't like calling people fools, but the Bible says the fool has said in his heart there is no God. I used to get so nervous for Mr. T. I just knew. When I was a kid and Mr. T went around, I pity the fool. I was like, man, he's going to go to hell. He ain't allowed to say that. The Bible says the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. There is a creator. Johnny, he created you for a very specific purpose. And as long as the enemy can get you to hold on to your dreams and your aspirations and what you want to do and be anything you want to be, as long as he can get you to hold on to that you are never going to find the joy and the peace that God ordained you to walk in. And the devil's trying to tell you that God wants to be a buzzkill and take all the fun out of your life. I'm here to tell you, you ain't never seen joy like you find joy when you put you aside and become what he ordained you to be. Can I get a witness in this house that knows where he brought you from? I didn't know peace till I knew Jesus. I'd lay down at night and pray, God, please don't let me die like this. I don't want to go to hell. I go to sleep now in a matter of seconds, because if I get up or I don't get up, I know everything is going to be all right. Lay it down. Just lay it down. No. Save yourself. Save yourself. Save yourself. For what? You're going to save yourself all the way to judgment? You better let him save you. You're going to hold on to this? And I'm not just talking to sinners. I'm talking to believers. There's some things he's asked you to lay down, and you haven't laid it down yet. Come on, we hear the voice of God. How many people in here hear the voice of God? Raise your hand. Let me see. How many people hear the voice of God? You driving down the road and God speaks to you. Anybody speaks to you? When God speaks to you, he said, my sheep, they know my voice. It's that a stranger they won't follow. It's what makes me nervous about all these people that want to operate in the canon. The Bible doesn't say my sheep know my word. They say my sheep know my voice. That means God is still speaking to his sheep today. That means God still has open communication with his sheep today. And sometimes he's saying, just let it go. Let it go. I want to bless you. Just let it go. Just let it go. Come on in. I got some. If you will just lose it, you're going to find it. If you'll just die, you're going to live. If you'll just let go, I'll show you. But you know what's weird about human nature? It loves what's familiar. Let me prove it to you. A woman will get in an abusive relationship. It becomes normal. And all of her friends say, get away from that dirtbag. And she won't, because it's what's normal. You need to get away from him. You need to get away from him. And then there's some kind of syndrome, what's it called? Where you start feeling bad for the people. Stockholm. They get in places where they start feeling sorry for the abuser. And then finally they get away. They get away from him. And you know what they do? They find a super great guy that's so unlike the other one. No. You know what they do? Somehow, they find a guy. Am I telling it right? That was just like the other scumbucket. How did you find one that's just like him? I mean, that takes talent. Am I right or am I? Has anybody ever seen this before? No, not him. That's my cousin. No, he just like that other one. You know what the problem is? Sometimes we get familiar and comfortable with being miserable. And we don't want to let the misery go because it becomes our identity. Come on, musicians. You really don't know about living till you live for the Lord. Pastor Sexton, it's what makes me nervous about this progressive church's message of it's push short. Just come as you are, come as you are, come as you are. And I agree, come as you are. Well, Jesus loves me just the way I am. But Jesus loves you so much, he's not going to leave you the way you are. I like saying it like this. Jesus loved me despite of who I was. You want some scriptures? What make you feel better? Romans said when we were enemies to God. Enemies of God. God loves his enemies. He sure does. But they're still enemies. When I was an enemy of God, when have two more minutes. I've seen the devil wrap people up so tight that they say, I can't get saved, I'll lose my income. I mean, this is how I make my cheddar. How am I supposed to? I can't come to Jesus. I won't be able to afford food because what I do, my profession is against his word. So what will I do? Well, let me inform you. The one you are giving your life to owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And if he called you, he sure can sustain you. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I'm telling you, I serve a God that's able not to save me, keep me, fill me, feed me, clothe me, do everything that, I'm telling you, if the birds don't lack, how much more would his child have? Start playing, Aaron, I can't shut up. Play something nice and pretty and soft. For years, I've tried to get Aaron to back me up on a piano, like when I'm preaching, I say good stuff, and he's dun dun. He won't do it for me. But while Marissa was up here giving her testimony, he hit a note. I said, oh, you'll do it for Marissa. Oh, it was an accident. Okay, sorry. I'm going back to my Baptist roots right now. Y'all know what that means? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Don't look around. Please don't look around. I don't see anybody looking. If God's talking to you right now, if you are not where you need to be and you know that, would you slip your hand up? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I see you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Eyes closed. Eyes closed. If you're here today and you know that God's got something in store for you that you haven't quite realized yet, and you know it, you know it. There's more to my life than what's going on. Would you slip your hand up? Would you slip your hand up? Thank you. Amen. 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 I haven't realized it yet. Yet. Key word being yet. Yet. Come on, Sam. Come on, Thomas. Come on. We do this at the end of every service. If you raised your hand today, we really want to pray with you because we believe God's got more for you too. And don't let the enemy lie to you today and say, save it, save it for later, save it for later, save it for later. No, don't save it. Don't save your life. Let's lose it. Let's lose it. Let's lose it because God wants to take you to who you really are and what you were really meant for. So if you're able to stand, would you stand? If you need prayer, would you step out? As they sing this song, we want to pray with you. We want to pray with you. We want to pray with you. If you raised your hand and God's dealing with your heart today, step out. Let us pray with you. Let us pray with you. Let us pray with you.